Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thank you for starting. Well, thank you for hanging out with KJ and Lyons here on your Saturday. 617-779-7937. That's the number and the text line to WEEI. John, the Red Sox had to win last night. But now really the question is, how many games do the Red Sox need to win? Obviously, if they could win all of them, that would be better. To avoid a disastrous story of missing the playoffs a day or two before the season's over.
Yeah, KJ, that swing we just played by Jaren Duran, if the Red Sox hang on and end up in the playoffs, that's the swing of the year right there. That's the hit of the year, the homer of the year, all of it right there. Surpasses Rafaela's walk-off against Tampa before the All-Star break. Like, that's it. Because the Red Sox lose last night, we'd be talking about a team only a half up on the Guardians. Because to your point, yeah, the Red Sox won last night. It feels like this Guardians team is never going to lose again. I mean, they're 9-1 in their last 10. What are they, 13 out of their last 14? Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from them in early September, and it feels like they haven't lost since. So,
right.
The thing is, the pressure's still on here. Like, you get Kyle Harrison on the mound today. Like, you could say last night Crochet's start was his biggest start of the year, and it feels like today is just as important, right? And then tomorrow night, and of course you have the series against Toronto and Detroit next week. I mean, you won last night. Swing of the year from Duran, great, great performance in the 7th and 8th inning by the Red Sox offense, an offense that we'll get into this, had been struggling mightily in September, but they have to build on it now, right? Like, because if you lose today
and
the Guardians keep winning, I mean, it's tough.
If they don't win 4 games, they're not in. I think it just really comes down to this. If they cannot win, if they can't play 500 ball over the next 8 games, they're not in. I don't know if you remember me telling you the stat going into this last swath of 27 games, the combined winning percentage of the teams they were playing at the time was like 469 or something like that. So my thing is, if you play below 500 ball, you're going to get below 500 results. And so that's why, like, so not only do you have to win today, so because if they win 4 games, right, let's say they win these two, they can lose 2 of 3 to the Tigers and to the Blue Jays, both who are struggling. This is why if they don't win these 2 games against Tampa, I don't know if they could win one of those two series against either the Blue Jays or the Tigers, considering these teams still have to play based on where they are now. If the Blue Jays are not in a losing streak right now, right, you would say, okay, the Blue Jays could probably take their foot off the gas a little bit, play some of their younger players, rest their stars, get ready for the playoffs, even get additional rest because you'll get a bye, right? But now if you're losing, if I'm a manager, I'm like, no, I need you guys to get out there because I want you guys to step into the playoffs winning. We don't need to be backing in. The Tigers are in the same position. So the Red Sox are getting no days off in their next 2 series. They're not going to see young guys like they're seeing in this Tampa series.
And to your point, right, you look at the Guardians schedule coming up. They have a doubleheader today. So today is a real opportunity for the Red Sox to at least pick up some ground. I mean, we'll see. The Guardians, the way they've been playing, they might win both games today in this doubleheader and then again tomorrow. But they have a series against Detroit coming up starting on Wednesday. And because Detroit, now remember, Detroit was this team most of the season. They've been cruising. They've had a 9-10 game lead in that division. They're only a couple games up in the AL Central right now. So Detroit is going to have to give it their all in that series next week to make sure they win the division. So hopefully that will help the Red Sox when, you know, standings wise with the Guardians when they play Toronto. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't go to Toronto and get swept, all right, or lose 2 out of 3 to the Blue Jays and the Tigers, I think, and still be able to make the playoffs. Like, you have to win this series against Tampa, and I think you have to win at least one of the series against Toronto and Detroit, ideally both, obviously, but I think you have to win at least one because you just, again, you look at this Guardian schedule, like today's an opportunity if they lose one of those games in the doubleheader, ideally both, to make up some real ground. And then they have that series against Detroit next week where, again, because Cleveland has closed the gap, I think you'll see Detroit going all out to make sure they win the division.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's probably helping the Red Sox a little bit right now is that the Seattle-Houston series that's going on right now is really helping the narrative of, okay, we know that one of the teams out of the West is possibly going to be eliminated from the wild card picture. So Houston right now is sitting in that third spot. The Sox are in the second spot. Yankees are in that number one spot for the wild card. But I don't see the Red Sox taking two of three from both the Tigers and from the Blue Jays, and there's four games that they'd have to win there. So you're going to have to subtract, right? So idealistically, you sweep this series, right? If you sweep this Tampa series, I think the pressure is off of you. I think the narrative would be just don't get swept, and I think you're in. With the way the Guardians are playing, they will eventually lose. You would hope it would start today, right? But I don't see them going on this 14-game, 15-game win streak to end the season. If they do, hats off to them. They're the Detroit of last year, right? But at the same time, I also don't see the Blue Jays losing five in a row or the Tigers losing six in a row at this point because they've been so strong this season. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line still to come. Parcells and Edelman getting into the Patriots Hall of Fame this afternoon. We'll talk about that, plus a ton of other stuff. So thank you so much for hanging out. We're here till 3. 617-779-7937. So, John, here's the issue that I have because the conversation is, what happens if the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, right? I think it's a 50-50 chance. You've heard Jones say Cora must go. I'm thinking like you're totally missing the point. It almost kind of ties to Parcell. You remember like why allow me to buy the groceries if I can't cook? Cora doesn't buy the groceries for this team. And yeah, okay, Kyle Harrison is out there today. But just look at last night's lineup and tell me, does this sound like a lineup that's made for the playoffs or made for a good story that you can tell to sell season tickets next year? Duran, Story, Bregman, Yoshida, Gonzalez, Eaton, Lowe, Navarez, Rafaela. Does that scare anybody going into the playoffs?
Oh, no, see, that's the thing. It's not a lineup built for the playoff. And credit to last night. I mean, Rafaela has four hits, right? Duran has two hits in the homer. Like a lot
Tampa's
of these,
playing. They're playing all Eaton, their young guys last night.
Eaton was 2-for-4 as well. Like the issue is when it comes to Cora, and you and I have talked about this a lot. It's not a new thing for a Cora team to fade down the stretch, right? It's happened year after, even 2021, when they made the ALCS, they faded in September and then had to win some games right at the end of the year in Washington just to get in.
But couldn't you argue that it was
pitching? In
22,
faded in 23, faded last year. Like, it keeps
happening.
So, John,
but couldn't you argue that's because of a pitching issue? It's not a pitching issue now.
I know. I think the bigger problem is the front office. I'll give you that. But yeah. I just think Cora's not innocent here, right? Like the fact that it keeps happening every single. I mean, the only year they haven't faded was 2018, and that was arguably the best roster in Red Sox history.
Wait,
like, every other
roster.
Year they faded.
You said roster, right?
But that's the point. Is that it was almost. I don't want to say it was foolproof because that would be an ignorant thing to say that they won the World Series. But that roster was so good, no matter who was the manager, they weren't going to fade. Like that, every other year they faded. That is, and we've also talked about how year after year after year, guys keep making the same base running mistakes, the same fielding mistakes. Like, that stuff, I think, is on him. The fact that they didn't get, say, Joe Ryan at the deadline, or they didn't get more help in the lineup, that's on Breslow, that's on the front office, because you can sit here and say, oh, they don't have Roman Anthony anymore, and that's Roman Anthony.
Injury's happy.
Roman Anthony was arguably their team MVP while he was healthy, but... And Breslow himself.
What does that say about front office? And the guy that you just brought up in the summer.
Exactly, right?
Is the MVP of your team. Like, the one thing I
will give Breslow. Do you want to rely on a 21-year-old to be that all the way through a pennant race?
That's my point, right? Once you start getting into October baseball, late September baseball, who's coming to the plate that makes that pitcher say, my goodness, I make a mistake, this complete game changes, or this ball is leaving the park. You just don't feel like you have that threat. Like, if the playoffs started today, because back in the old 154 game seasons back in the day, Sox would be in the playoff seasons over yesterday, right? Then you'd say, I really could pitch around the first three batters all game and not have to worry and not believe that I'm going to be hurt at all. Like, there is just no threat through this lineup. And Bregman, this is where Breslow's smart. Smart not to give him the money. Let me see what you've done in October. Because here's the thing with Bregman that I don't think anybody's conversing about why he's having the slump. Look at all the talent he had around him in Houston. So you can contribute and seem like that you're being a leader in a team that's stacked, or you can be exposed a bit when everybody's looking for you to do what you used to do and you don't have that type of surrounding bats. There's no protection in the lineup for Bregman. There's no and think about it. You might have heard me say this about Rafaela is, hey, look, the glove is going to outweigh whatever his average is. But now you're looking at him like, hey, buddy, we really need your average. We need you to contribute because Breslow never went and got anybody. And I think it really comes out of this return from Devers. It's like, if Devers is in the middle of this lineup as a DH, because Yoshida, let's just call it what it is, a wash. Yoshida's a wash. This guy's he's a walking 4-3. You know what I mean by that? It's a ground ball
to second, third, and first,
right? He's a walking 4-3. So you almost have to say, wow, if let's just say you kept Devers through this year as the DH and then made your moves, say, in the offseason where you felt like you can get a bigger haul because you got nothing for Devers and now you need something that, watch this, Devers has done in the lineup to move them forward. This is a Breslow thing where it's like, hey, look, you really got nothing in return other than flexibility when this team needs durability and dependability, right? Like, why is Josh, were you in the mix for a Josh Naylor, right? Because clearly it's working out for Seattle. So again, why did you not get this lineup some real additional help so that way you're not sitting here biting your nails with eight games left wondering like, man, I just pray that the Red Sox can score four runs today. Like, that's where we are.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, like, when you look back on the Devers trade, Breslow said, I think we'll be a better team without Devers. And he has been right. They've been better without Devers. But you've seen instances, like, I go back to that Friday night game against Pittsburgh. It was Toley's debut when he went against Skeens. Like,
Skeens, right.
You lose 4-2. Like, I look at that game, and I'm like, man, that's a game that if you have Devers, maybe you win that game. I look at some of the close losses they've had to the A's over this month or the Yankee series. I'm like, maybe Devers wins you one of those games, right? Because so technically Breslow is right. They've been better without him. But I think what we're seeing now is the lack of the return, right? Because if they had gotten even like you think about all the good pitchers the Giants had, especially at that time. What if they had gotten one of those better rotation options from the Giants if they had eaten some of the money for Devers? Then we wouldn't have been talking about Joe Ryan at the trade deadline. You could have just focused on bolstering the lineup, and maybe you'd be a lot better off, or maybe they would have gotten somebody better in the lineup for him if they shopped him around more. So I guess, like, that's the thing, and I compare it so much to, and I know it's a different sport, but to the Luka Doncic trade, right? Mavs were right about Luka. They were not going to win a championship with him. Red Sox were right about Devers, but in both cases, you didn't get enough back for a guy in his prime who was one of the better players in the league.
See, but Devers has won you a championship.
Yeah, and he was a piece on that team, right, but that wasn't like
and
he
that's
won
exactly
you.
What I'm saying is like Bregman should not be the one carrying this load. Like with Trevor Story, like they're like that isn't like
yeah, Story what's at least has 25 homers. Like he's
right,
been
right.
From
put it this point,
yeah.
Right, like this is, we've never seen this from Story because he's never been around this long in the lineup. So you're like, wow, this is really great. He can hit 20, he's hit 25 home runs. He's a 100 RBI guy. But again, we're just discovering this thing. I think when Bregman came here, the idea was like, hey, I can help lift some sinking ships that are going on here, but there need to be other boats that are not sinking. So when Bregman starts to sink, you're like, okay, has Story peaked? And then you've got a bunch of other young guys.
Yeah, and I think like you look at Duran, and he's had a pretty good season, but last year he hit 280. He was the MVP of the All-Star game, led the MLB in doubles and triples. You're like, wow, this dude could be a top 10, top 15 player in the major leagues. And he hasn't been that guy this year, and that's been a big problem for their lineup. Losing Abreu, which we haven't mentioned yet. Like once you traded Devers, Abreu was your best power hitter on the team. You've been without it. I mean, and there's some, maybe he'll be back soon. Maybe, I mean, it feels like that's just kind of been strung out day after day after day. But we also saw, to your point about guys peaking, like Narvaez was playing like an all-star at the all-star break. And since then, he's tailed off. Right,
Rafael as well. Yeah,
Rafael. I think it was June. He hit 283 in June and was hitting over 300 in July.
Right before the All-Star break. Yep.
And then he's tailed off since. And some of this is, and you and I talked about this before, like when you rely on so many young players, you're not going to get a full season of production out of. Like Story's not a young player, and he's been pretty good all year. Bregman, I know he had that slump the last couple weeks, but for most of the year, when healthy, he's been good, but he's not a young player. Like, when you rely on so many young guys, whether it's Abreu, Narvaez, Rafaela, even Anthony when he was up, Marcelo Meyer as well, who got hurt pretty quickly, you have to expect that they're not all going to be there. Like, you can put Brian Bello in that category as well, who's had a bad September. You can even throw Lucas Giolito, who's not a young player, but a guy coming off a major injury last year. Like, they've been relying on a lot of guys that maybe you don't want to fully rely on. And in the summer, it was great. June, July, August, it was awesome. But we've seen a lot of these guys, up until last night, really tail off in September. And you've combined that with Cleveland playing unbelievable baseball. And I think that's really what's got you where you're at.
Red Sox conversation continues. 617-779-7937. Join in. Also, still to come, we'll hear from my buddy Chris Mack at Odyssey Pittsburgh talking about the Pittsburgh element for the, tomorrow's game with the Patriots, but right now it's time to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bats carried the Sox to a win yesterday. They scored 7 runs in the 8th inning, propelled the Sox to an 11-7 victory over the Rays last night. Crochet went 6 full, allowing 3 earned runs while striking out 9 batters along the way. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about Garrett Crochet after the game.
He's the ace, right? There's a reason we traded him. We were in Dallas and we pulled the trigger, and then there's a reason we gave him all that money. You know, the guy, he works hard, he cares. He wanted to keep going. I'm like, nah, this is good, you know. But he wants to win.
With the Sox winning, the Astros losing last night, the Sox are now tied for the second wild card spot. The Sox also keep their 1.5 game lead over the Guardians for an AL wild card spot. Cleveland also won last night to keep the pressure on the Sox. Cleveland is 9-1 in their last 10 games. The Sox are back in action today for another must-win game against Tampa. Coverage starts on WEEI at 6:05 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil. And as always, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kyle Harrison is on the mound for your Boston Red Sox, first pitch at 7:05. The Patriots are set for their week 3 matchup tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but today, both Julian Edelman and Bill Parcells will be putting on their red jackets and getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I'm Tom Christofiuli, and that's your trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We're about 20 minutes away from Would You Rather, and then, of course, we still have Justin Jag, NFL to cover as well, Patriots, Steelers tomorrow. I think a must-win game for both of those teams in terms of their narrative. But that's Alex Cora talking about what it felt like to finally get a big lead in last night's game. And, John, you and I were talking before we got on the air. it was actually a ghost talk and the cross talk. I'm totally kidding. Where I've always felt that management, upper management, not Cora, but Breslow and above, realized that they had to get back into some type of good graces with the fan base, especially at this time of the year, right? Because the last couple of years, what are you looking at? 79 wins around this time, 74 wins, 75 wins.
Struggling to maybe get to 80.
Hey, yeah, right. Maybe it'd be an 81 and 81 season. So that's where the frustration lied. And of course, it would carry over into Winterfest. They've changed Winterfest and how it's worked, I think in part because of the fan outrage. Again, and you're an American history buff, people tend to react around here. You know what I mean? Like, they react. And so I've always thought that management said, hey, look, if this team can be competitive, we're talking about games they're in, and if at the end of the season they just missed the playoffs and we didn't really spend any money, win for ownership. Win for ownership, because the fan base will then have themselves going back and forth with each other. Well, look, those young guys took them as far as they could. It takes the onus off of leadership. Again, I would stand on this hill. How do you go in knowing that you've been a team that's been trending towards where they are now, right? Playoff bound. They've gotten stuff out of their rookies. How do you not go and get established help for young guys who you're expecting to carry the load, and they've never played this? Like, think about how many guys on this roster have played this many games in a season so far to this point.
Yeah, and I was also thinking earlier, how many guys on this roster have won a World Series before? It's just Chapman and Bregman, right? Like, you don't have a lot of October experience here, to your point. You don't even have a lot of full season experience. We're talking about this last segment. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app is free, of course, about how all the young guys they've relied on. And to your point, I think ownership probably looks at this season as kind of a win for them already.
Oh,
because
they
spent money on Bregman. And look, I know, again, he had the slump to start September, but on the whole, he's been good. And they spent a lot of money on that Crochet extension, and Crochet has been good. And they spent money on Chapman. And oh, by the way, those three guys were your three all-stars, the guys they spent money on. And I think if the Red Sox miss the playoffs, it's going to be the conversation that you and I have been having so far on the show. Is it Cora? Is it Breslow? Is it the players themselves? No one's talking about ownership. Whereas in the last few years, a lot of the talk was about ownership, right?
That's right.
When they didn't want to go after, whether it was Corbin Burns or Yamamoto or any of those other good tradable or free agent pitchers.
Snell, Montgomery.
Yeah, right. The list goes on. The last three, 4 years, all those guys that they didn't go after, and or they said they went after and they were interested. Max Fried's another one that comes to mind that they didn't get. Now, like, three guys that they invested either prospects or money or both in have all been good. We're all stars. I think that shifts the conversation away from them, because I think people look at it, and I would agree with this. The trade deadline wasn't John Henry saying, hey, trade Tibbs for Dustin May and get Steven Matz, right? That was a Breslow thing. And the fading down the stretch right now, people will look at injuries and they'll look at Cora and they'll look at the trade deadline. Like, no one, like, this season, even if they miss the playoffs, I think in ownership size, for them at least PR-wise, it's already a win for them.
Well, if you even want to look at a specific area on the field, look, remember with the Gonzalez-Toro platoon that you had going, right? Toro's gone, right? Because you figure that Toro just couldn't make it through it. While Gonzalez has performed well, I would love to see what his numbers expand out if you gave him an entire 150,
you kind of found Nathaniel Lowe almost by luck. And he's been pretty good for you, but like, that was almost, you really got lucky on that one.
But those are kind of management's ways of saying, find something that isn't going to cost us something until it costs us something. And I think these eight games are really going to be all focused on what you didn't do at the Devers trade, what you didn't get back for Devers. Okay, that's one. And what you didn't get as an additional help in the lineup that's going to help move things beyond A to B. So when Bregman struggles, there's another potent bat in the lineup. Or when Story may struggle. The good thing is that Story's struggles seem to be pretty much gone, right? Like, those were earlier in the season. But these young guys, I would expect many of them to kind of burn out. And you hate for it to be through injury. But then the other part of it is kind of the catching up with. Like, what happened to Christian Campbell at the start of the season feels like it's kind of happened to some of these other guys here towards the end of the season, either through injury or through adjustment, right? Like, Rafaela, remember, Jackie Bradley Jr. barely could give you a 215 average. if Rafaela can give you 240, 250, you're going to take that, and you're going to take that with his center field play. But because Bradley was surrounded by so many other veterans, you could have room for that. There is no room for that now with this team when everybody's young. So when Abreu gets hurt, or when you're talking about, hey, Roman Anthony, if he doesn't come back and they don't make it, he's the reason. Like, this guy's the reason he's been here, what, since June something?
Yeah, and you even look at, like,
that's upstairs.
You look at the vets they've had on this team. Like, Duran has not been bad this year, but he has not been up to the level that he played last year and was the All-Star Game MVP.
But I can't even call him a vet. He's, what, the third year?
And Trevor Story, right, like a real – and he's been good this year. He's played 150 games this year, but you kind of – in the back of your mind, you wonder about that with him because he's played 150 games this year, and the last time he played 150 games was 2018. Like, it's been a long time since that dude's played more than 150 games and been able to do it all year. So even that is kind of in the back of your mind, and that's where and you feel that way with the pitching staff too, KJ. Like, Garrett Crochet coming into this year's career high in innings was 146, right? Bayo had been kind of all over the place early in his career. He had some really good months, really good moments, and then faded. Remember coming into the year, they were relying on Tanner Houck, right? He gets hurt, goes on the IL. Obviously, he's going to be out for a long time. Bueller, they tried to rely on, and that obviously didn't work out. Like, they had a lot of guys that were either young, and even now they're doing it with Connelly Early, Peyton Tolley, Kyle Harrison. Yep. Like, these are young guys that you're relying on. Yes, it's exciting, and yes, they have a bright future. I'm not saying they don't, but it's when you're in the thick of a playoff race and you have a team like the Guardians. I know they were out of it earlier this year. This was a team that was in, what, the ALCS last year against the Yankees? Like, this is a team that has legit playoff experience. And you look at the Yankees, obviously, were in the World Series last year. Detroit has a loaded pitching staff, which includes Jack Flaherty, who won the World Series last year. So it's tough to rely on so many of these young guys at this time of year.
Think about what you're saying, and I'd even throw Toronto in that mix because they failed so miserably last year with all that talent. Remember, they had all that, and they just failed miserably last year. So if you're Toronto, okay, you weren't here last year or the last couple of years, but you have the talent to play these games, and you've been here sometime before, right? Nobody
weren't
in that Toronto.
In the playoffs like a couple years ago in that wild card series, right?
Right.
Yeah. So at least they've like made it, you know?
Right. So all those teams, Detroit, they did the same thing last year. They made their end of season run. You mentioned Cleveland. These are all to Seattle, Houston. These teams have all been doing these things over the last couple of years. The Red Sox for the last 3 years. Yeah. It's really been a screaming match of, like, is this team going to finish above 500? So this is the issue that I have is, if you know that all these young guys are you're trying to get all these young guys to carry the team towards the end of the season, why did you not see down the road that there was going to – I don't even think – the arm issue, I think, could figure itself out, right? Because Crochet was a great pitcher on one of the worst teams ever, right? So if you're that guy in Chicago last year, then you're like, okay, if we put him on a decent team, this guy still can do the same things. What the Red Sox have been guys who've been okay to decent on bad teams. So, like, now you have to say, okay, one guy – who's a pitcher isn't going to be able to play every day for you and help, you know, score runs for you like that. So you can't wait on Crochet, and I don't understand why, like, someone like a Josh Naylor when Arizona was selling, why were you in the mix for that? Yoshida, and here's where I'll be fair to management, John. I think in a little way they got caught with their pants down with Yoshida and Story. I think, and this is just my belief, is that if Yoshida was available and healthy early in the season, and Trevor Story didn't struggle early on, that those two guys would have been pieces to move potentially to other teams that feel like Story can do what we need to do, or Yoshida can fill in the blanks. Yoshida has, what, two home runs?
And that was, if you remember, the conversation we were having in July, and this is obviously before Abreu got hurt, before Anthony got hurt, was, wow, they have these four or five guys, you know, you include Duran, Yoshida, Rafaela, you can't play them all. Is Yoshida the one you can trade and get some pitching help, right? Because you obviously weren't going to trade Rafaela, Abreu, or Anthony, and we looked at it, all right, Duran might be more a guy you look to move maybe in the offseason, or if you tweak some things in your lineup and can move some guys around. Yoshida was the guy I think a lot of people hoped, hey, he'll come back in July and he'll be healthy and he'll play well and then you can move him. And it's just, it's been the opposite of that. Like, I know he had a hit last night, but it's been really the opposite of that. He's given you next to nothing. Like, I mean, how many times has he had a not just gotten a ground out to second base, which we joke about, but just a non-competitive at bat?
Number like 43.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And again, I just think that's the issue that they came into the year, is they were relying on a lot of talented guys and a lot of guys with bright futures. But if you're going to win in September and October, you need to be able to lean on your veterans. And just right now, they haven't had enough of those guys. And look at last night. Like, the biggest play of the game was Jarren Duran, a guy who's, right. again, and Duran's not a 10-year vet, but he is a veteran, was the All-Star Game MVP last year. Like, he's been in some bigger pressure moments, at least a little bit, and he has the big hit for you there. Like, and then the floodgates open after that. Like, if Duran doesn't hit that home run, you don't score 11 runs in that game. You might not even win, right? Like, so
I think
like,
even
that's
worse,
the moment for your vets.
You probably end up having to use Chapman, even though you almost had to use Chapman last night, because now the way I'm thinking about with Chapman is, okay, even though he's not getting in the game, he is still throwing those pitches at least
right,
80.
He's still warming up.
He's still
getting
warming
loose.
Up.
Yeah.
And he's been getting touched recently, which was unheard of. Crochet's been getting touched lately, and that had been kind of unheard of. The only way you can usurp that, and it's kind of crazy to think about, when the Red Sox had no pitching, the argument you have is like, put the Red Sox in a 6-4 game, and I'm going to lean on the Red Sox to win that game. Remember those days, right? Like,
yeah, and hey, this is a team that was 34-18 in July and August, and they're 8-8 in September. And it's, again, it's a lot of winnable games, whether it was those games against the A's, the Yankees series, like that's – and I think this is that time of year where you rely on your veterans, and they just haven't had enough of those guys to rely on. And that's where, like, you look at last night. I mentioned Duran, right? Bregman had the home run as well.
Right.
Like, that's your World Series vet in your lineup. That's a huge hit that Bregman had. And when you look forward to tonight, tomorrow night, against Toronto this coming week, like, you're going to need some of those moments from your veterans. Like, Raffaello went 4-for-5 last night. That's not going to happen every night against Toronto next week or against Detroit next week. Like, you're going to need Bregman. You're going to need Duran, and I would even throw in Yoshida. I would throw in Nathaniel Lowe. That's
you,
a guy.
You need actually, everybody.
I left out Lowe. That's a guy that has won a World Series too a couple years ago. Like, you need those guys though more than anyone else to step up at this time of year.
Yeah, but are those guys the one that make you say, "Oh my gosh, let me sit in front of the TV and see"?
No,
what they're
I wouldn't. I wouldn't go that far. No. And, I'm just saying, like, to win these games, you need those guys.
But that's what this team needs. If this team gets into the wild cards and loses to the Yankees just straight up three games.
Like, I still would look at that as probably overall a fine season. Like, I wouldn't be angry if they lost in the wild card round.
Oh, I would.
I felt like that was.
I'd be upset.
I felt like coming into the year, their ceiling, if everyone was healthy and everything went well, is they could get to the ALCS and lose there because they didn't have enough pitching. Not everyone's been healthy, but they had a lead. So I would say, like, if they don't get into the playoffs, I'm giving them, like, a D- on the season. But if
they
get in and
lose the very first series.
If they at least get in and lose, I'm not going to sit here and be jumping for joy about it, but I would at least look back and say, okay, that is a positive step in the right direction, considering they were last place, what, 2 years ago? Last
right.
year, 81-81. So I would look at it as a step forward. But it would also be a little bit of a missed opportunity considering how good you've been against, say, the Yankees this year.
617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out with KJ Lyons here on WEEI. I guess, John, my thing is this team has the purse strings to do what the other main teams do in this league.
100%.
Like I said, if there's a stool of four legs or a chair with four legs, stool's three legs, right? A four-chaired leg, it would be the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and maybe the Cubs are the four most important teams to Major League Baseball. The Yankees spend. The Dodgers spend. The Cubs, they'll spend from time to time.
They're another one. They should spend more, but they are a good team at least.
Right. But they're very similar with the Red Sox because it's the ballpark, it's the atmosphere, it's day drinking, no, even though not so much here at Fenway. But it's like, you know, it's about having the experience. You know, you can't really discuss going to Wrigley without drinking, right? I'm more of the thing of kind of like, okay, if you want this sport to survive and you want real numbers to pop on television, the Red Sox need to be in the mix of these things, right? Because the Red Sox Yankees pulls in the casual baseball fan. And if you're going to have a team that's just kind of like, all right, well, if we can just kind of get by the skin of our teeth, because that's what I feel like management has really been investing in. And I was going to get to this before. Go back to the 2018 team and just think of all the names on that team. And then you think of someone like Andrew Biantendi, right? And then you're like, hey, the guy mattered.
He was an all-star, right? 1 year.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not
a good player.
He's not one of the first three names that you mentioned on that team when it comes to lifting that team.
He might be the sixth guy you mentioned.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if he's the sixth guy on that 18 team, you put him on this team.
My guess was going to be two or three. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because your point on the spending.
From a hitter's perspective, not in terms of Crochet and stuff like that, because I kind of separate those. You know, it's like gym class to biology class. You know, they schedule the same, but you don't have biology every day. You don't have biology lab every day. You like that high school reference.
That's not bad. Not bad. But I would say, like, to your point about the teams that spend, like, over the last 4 or 5 years, the teams that have been the most aggressive, the Dodgers, obviously, usual suspect, the Yankees. But the Padres have been, and the Mets, like those have been the four teams. It hasn't been the Red Sox as part of that four. And then this year, again, they finally spend a decent amount of money, right? Bregman, the Crochet extension, Chapman, they bring those guys in. Those three guys are all-stars. It's just you're in this point now because I think you're still a couple vets short, whether it's in the rotation, I think one or two in the lineup as well. That's why I think you found yourself at 8-8 in September.
Yeah, I can say I'm okay with the rotation, right? Because Giolito is think about what he was supposed to be last year. He was supposed to be the missing Eovaldi piece, right? So you've gotten more
lasted
like that.
About a month.
Right, exactly. So you've gotten way more than you've expected out of Giolito. You've gotten way more than you expected out of Trevor Story. You've gotten way more out of Roman Anthony, right? Like, you've gotten way more. So that's why I say I give more credit to Cora, because if you're getting way more out of these guys, then why isn't there some type of assistance to get you some supplemental help, right? It's like when my daughter was a kid, and you know, it's kind of like to help out. If I was just kind of like, hey, you know, the game is on. Like, I'm really not helping out with the child. I'm not helping out raising the child if I'm like, the game is on. Now, if it's like, okay, the child can go do their thing, they're a veteran and doing what they want to do, get to their tablet, I can go watch the game and trust that they're going to be able to get the job done of what they want to do. If you're talking about the age of a kid, you're literally talking about maybe Jaren Duran is like 4 years old and everybody else outside of Bregman. Bregman's like the teenager and everybody is like 1, 2, 3 years old. Like Duran, even Duran it's beyond Duran even helping out. I just don't understand why you did not go get another bat because in the last 3 years, how many people on this team have been in the playoffs that were on the team?
Two, three. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Like Bregman obviously has. Nathaniel Lowe has.
Right, but they haven't been here the last 3 years.
Right, right. So, but it's just those are the only two guys I can even think of that have been in the playoffs that are in this lineup.
Right. So virtually the balance of your team doesn't even have this experience that you have going on right now. Last 3 years, the last eight games ain't mattered for nothing.
Yeah, those games haven't mattered since 2021.
So, and even at that time, right, that's when you had veterans and you just needed help with the pitching.
Yeah.
Now I give Breslow a lot of credit for what he has done with the pitching. The front line rotation, that's been one of the lesser of our conversations this year versus being the continuing conversation over the last few years, almost kind of like, hey, when Chris Sale gets back.
That 21 team actually had a healthy Chris Sale. It's been a while. Right. I know.
So, look, it's KJ in line. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your text and calls next here on WE.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday with us. Remember, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. Tell your Alexa device, hey, play WEEI Boston Sports Original. It brings you here. And, of course, you can listen on the iHeart Radio app as well. But, John, I think here's what's really good about being on radio right now. It's because it takes me away from social media for 3 hours. Like, I don't know about you. I don't know how much of your intake. It's just very, very, especially it's very hard to do Twitter right now. It is just very, very hard just to scroll without, like, I've got to put this phone down. I think that's the drug that we don't realize is the phone, right? You just heard Ken talking about he got his new 17 phone the day it came after. Hello, knock, knock. Can you give me a fix pusher, man? You know, my gosh.
It's funny. Like, I use Twitter and obviously stuff because of, like, this job. If it wasn't for that, I would try to use it almost never.
Yeah, I almost wonder why, like, sports entities haven't just said, why don't we just create our own social media network? Like, they can afford the bandwidth in terms of cloud space and stuff like that and just keep it strictly to sports. You have your Yahoos inside of that, but it all gets mixed together and then it cross-populates and everything. Like, if there's one thing that I'm actually thankful for in my life, and I never thought I would ever be this strict just because I virtually have no discipline, is my oldest kid tried to sneak and get a MySpace page back in the day before she was 13. And I called her on it saying, well, you're not 13, so you can't be on here. But it was a lesson for her about social media, which was totally different back in the MySpace days, right? Totally
yes.
different.
Everyone was friends with Tom. And I'm not talking about our producer, Tom right. Crisafulli.
Yeah, well, maybe it is Tom Crisafulli. He's just doing this as a side gig, right?
Yeah.
See, that's the type of stuff you see on Twitter right now. Like, exactly. Hey, he works at WEEI right now. Oh, my gosh. The fall off. Hashtag save Tom. But now with my current child, it's like, yo, you're not even getting a phone. Like, she has these things called IEPs, and I know you're familiar with the education system. So when talking with the principal at her school, we're talking about, like, phones and kids with school. And I was just like, yeah, I think it's just kind of weird why a kid would need a phone at school. They could just use the school phone and call, you know, a parent or whatever.
Yeah, like a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, right. Like they don't need a cell phone.
Well, I would say even a 17-year-old doesn't need one in school. And the principal says it's not even the text messaging or the phone calls anymore. It's the apps. Like, the apps have, like, really taken the mind of people. It's absolutely fascinating. So my kid not having a phone, I don't miss anything. I think the only access, she's not even allowed to watch YouTube unaccompanied. That's just where it is. And I would never think I would be that way as a parent, but here I am, thankful that my oldest child is kind of balanced and doesn't really get on social media that much, married, you know what I mean? Like, kind of regularly functioning person. And then my youngest, it's like, hey, buying her a CD player and finding, like, dollar CDs is like gold to her. Like, it's, so that's why I'm glad to be here on something that doesn't require, like, us pretty much virtually taking our clothes off and doing some type of bad striptease show just to impress.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's just, and also too, social media, I've felt for a long time, is a net negative for society.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's good things about it, but the negative, I think, outweighs the positive. But especially in the last, like, 3-4 years, I feel like it's gotten way worse. Like, it's always been a net negative, but I feel like it's gotten way worse.
Well, so I've had, like, a Twitter account since, like, 2011, something like that. I might have been one of the first 100,000 people to sign up for it. I remember it at the time because it was like, hey, it was kind of neat. I thought it was something that would be interesting. And then when they were like, hey, all of the tweets would be stored at the Library of Congress, I was just like, oh, so that's a lot. Anything that you say will and can't be held against you? That's when I kind of knew about it. That's why I still think it's at play. The Library of Congress doesn't do that anymore. So they say, right? But when
I hope not. There's a lot of uninteresting stuff on there. Plus, I saw a report recently. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was the Wall Street Journal, but I could be wrong. that said like 74% of Twitter activity was either bots or fake accounts over the past year. I was like, TikTok was the lowest. I think they were like 1% or something.
Right.
Instagram was pretty low. Facebook was low. But yeah, Twitter, I think it was, I have to double check. I think it was 74%. So it's like when you see those people like tweet incendiary things and they get like 1,000 likes, I'm like, oh, well, are like 750 of those likes bots? Like, I don't, that's also made me like less enthusiastic about using it over the past several months as well.
Yeah, I would tell this industry right now, get your own social media account. Push it through these radio stations that got across the country. You can change the narrative. And plus, everybody collects data these days. Isn't that what they do? Like,
yeah.
John, if this is my last show, I just
no such thing as privacy. Just great. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So why not just use all these radio stations or television stations across the country, just start your own social network, run it, promote it through your own avenues, and then you can then get all that stuff. Like, you get all the money, all the likes, stuff like that. Maybe I need to be an executive and not just the Saturday every once in a while month guy. Maybe it's being the executive that I need to do. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to one of your texts, and then we'll get to Would You Rather, and then we've got to get to break. What you got, Thomas?
I think the best text in the text line, a 508 text. Yo, Yoshida sucks.
Yeah.
Seems, you know, to what be it the is? Sentiment among a lot of people.
But you know, John, what I think about it is, I think about where Yoshida came from in Japan. And what is the one thing you know about the ballparks in Japan? Is there something that you know
I actually
about
don't know anything about. I've seen them a few times.
They
but
virtually all have the same dimensions.
Okay.
Right? They're
aren't
all
a lot of
these
them domes? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, there are
that?
A lot of them in domes, right? There are a lot of domes, and a lot of them have the, you know, the universal 400 to center, you know, 324 to right, 324 to left, 385 to the gaps, you know,
yeah.
Or 360.
We'll have to have a conversation later about Steinbrenner Field and then the Sacramento A's Field. The Red Sox have been playing at some Mickey Mouse places far this month.
Right. So, I think that's the part of Yoshida's problem is, hey, getting the ball launched inside of a dome, your sight lines and everything are completely different when you play Major League Baseball. One day you're looking at a brick fence in Camden Yards, the next day you're like, wait, where is the right field? Like, so I think that's part of his struggles are just the dimensions of the ballparks. All right, Thomas, let's do this, man.
Would you rather more like the two?
Uh-huh.
Either or, I ask of you. Would you rather more like the two? Either or, I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, KJ Lyons, first up, would you rather Drake May throw the game-winning touchdown against Pittsburgh or run in the game-winning touchdown against Pittsburgh?
I'd rather he throw it. Because I still think, look, the running stuff is fun and it's good and it's part of his game and it can be helpful. Over the course of his career, you want him to be a passer first. So,
yeah, but who's the person that's open? Because if it's,
I don't care, is he's thrown it in? We already have established it's game-winning touchdown, so he's throwing it.
Okay, yeah, but it doesn't get caught, right? You know, there's do they actually catch the ball? You know, so if it's to Hunter Henry, yes. If it's to, well, you know what? I don't necessarily want to say it. Maybe if it's to Ramondre Stevenson, that's a problem. But I would rather have him run it in to win the game because I believe he will get it in there and there won't be the situation of a drop pass. Because think about it over the last year and a half, John. Well, year and some change. What has been the story? Oh, if they got a second foot in, or if this had happened, or if that had happened, when the easy thing should have happened. So, yeah, I would rather have him scramble in and run to win the game. Next.
What is more likely to happen? Bill Belichick wins a college football playoff spot at UNC, or Robert Kraft designates a spot at Foxborough for a Bill Belichick statue?
John.
I think the statue is more likely. And I think Bill, and I've said this many times, will have a decent run at UNC, and they have a good 2026 recruiting class so far. But to get into the playoff, that might take him 2 years. Maybe there's a path to him sneaking in this year. I mean, if they have Clemson in a couple weeks, and Clemson doesn't look that good. So I don't know, but I think the statue's right now a little more likely.
Yeah, have you seen how long it has taken the Crafts to forgive Parcells?
Like, it's only 30 years, KJ,
right? Yeah, so I'm going to go with Belichick. getting a CFP before a statue erected at
an apple picking session, or get into an argument about politics with random people while picking apples.
So either way, I have to pick apples, which kind of sucks, Tom.
Right, there it is. It's just kind of like, wow, yeah, paint drying, yeah, apple picking.
I'd rather get in the argument with the random person than, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah, what? Because if it's the random person, I can walk away.
I can walk away.
With a significant
blame
other.
Them.
I've been bored apple picking.
And also,
we're now
too,
in
like,
the car.
If I ever get in an argument with my wife in public, I always think like, wow, people watching it probably thought I was a real a-hole, even if I was right or wasn't me or whatever. So I would rather be a random person so then people wouldn't think that.
Yeah, bro, I don't argue with my wife at all. I just sit there and just look. I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, right. That is, would you rather, more likely to, either or next, Patriots Steelers. We get ready for that next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.